Well, tonight from chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, I'd like to bring to your attention the fact that this chapter is all about the abuse of power. Abuse of power. We hear it a lot in the media, and we think it might not be there in our circles as believers. Well, we see it here in the Word of God. And we also can see it even in the New Testament, also the abuse of power. But tonight, the Lord wants us to go through this text, and I will try to be brief. So what is the abuse of power? How is it defined? Let me give you this definition from the U.S. Department of Justice. You see, these are the right people to give us the right definition, you see, because they deal with justice and they know they are the people who will always say, people who know the law, the lawyers, they know where there is abuse of power. Sometimes we don't discern these things, but some people are trained to see those things. So, well, this is what they say. A simple definition of the abuse of power is the misuse of a position of power to take unjust advantage of individuals, organizations, or governments. That is what they say. The abuse of power is the misuse of a position of power to take unjust advantage of individuals, organizations, or governments. While we have here a king, is the highest authority ever. And so this king has enormous power in his hand. And the power he has, he didn't receive them even from man, from God himself, God of the whole universe. How about that? If someone would be given that power from the divine powers themselves, himself, it's just incredible, isn't it? And so no one can stand in before him, this person, and he can do whatever he likes. Because he got all his power from God, but not what he likes in terms of abusing God's people, because God himself is the defender of his own people, and he will not tolerate any sin. He will not tolerate anyone. He is not a respecter of any human being. He will rise to stop anyone, but he endows powers for his glory and for the benefit of his own people. That is why he raises leaders to reflect his heart and to do what is good in his own sight. Because we will read later on that what David did displeased God so much. Displeased God. For God has called us to please him. You know? Yeah. So we read here in this text how David really abused the power. A man who was called by God. You know that David was called by God. So what he did here, he moved real to abuse the power. So let me give you how he rose to do that. First of all, the Bible says in the spring at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelites army. So this man, he was sent. He went to be with to fight wars. And so here is, kings were sent to were going to do wars, to make war with other kings. But David here is not. It's not going to war, isn't it? He is not going to war. And some people say that he was staying behind so that he can do some administrative work. I'm not convinced with that. So I'm not convinced. Some were trying really to say, well, he was staying there. But if we read the Word of God, we see that Jehoshaphat and Ahab went to war, isn't it? So they went to war, and I read that whole chapter today. So they went and they fought these men. So kings do really go to war. That is what I take. But David didn't go to war. He was so complacent, and so he was just staying behind. Instead of putting his heart with his own people, his heart was not in the war. So he failed to be at the place where he should be. That is what verse 1 says in the springs. In the spring, that May from March to June. So nice time. So it was the time when kings would really wage war. And David remained in Jerusalem. This is the end of verse 1. But David remained in Jerusalem. So when the word of God says something like this, this is weighty. It's saying he shouldn't be here. He remained behind. Yeah, he remained behind. But kings really do go to war. So the first thing I want to say, complacency leads really to lust. Lust always makes a person blind to the truth, makes his heart dull, and would move to do something he shouldn't do. So David was not focused, and in his idleness, he was overcome with lust, and his eyes fell on a woman going about her own business for people to take their showers. And also, again, some commentators, they would just assume maybe the lady was bathing at the roof of her palace as well, or her house. I'm not convinced with that. So it could be like in a yard, backyard, or something like that. And David at the top of his palace, he could look down anywhere. He went to mess up also with the very family that are risking their lives for him and for the entire Israelites. Look at the history of Bathsheba, verse 3. Who is this lady, Bathsheba? Well, we are told in the same really letter, 2 Samuel, verse 23, 34. So this is, she's the daughter of a man by name Eliam. So we read in verse 34 of chapter 23, Eliphelet, son of Ahishabai, the Maacathite, Eliam, son of Ithopel, the Gilonite. So this man was one of the most trusted counselors. So let me read this. The father of Bathsheba is Eliam, a member of David's special forces, a mighty man, and therefore the head of an influential household. This Eliam is the son of Elisapethel, as I just read, one of David's most respected advisors. And then again, let me read chapter 15, because it's very important that we get this right. Chapter 15, verse 12. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Geloa, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength. So this man was like closer to David. And also we read that in chapter 16, 23. There is a mention of this man, 16, 23. Now in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God. So these people were very close to David. And now David, in his foolishness, he is going to harm the very people who are serving him. Where is Uriah? This man, he is at the battles, he's at the front line. And now David, he was not thinking about all these things. He was just going to move to fulfill all that he desires to do. So David now planned to kill Uriah after he failed to cover up his sin. So now he had this woman brought forth, and we read that he slept with her, and then the woman was pregnant. So that is the whole history. So he sent, and so the woman came, he had sex with her, and then the woman became pregnant. And so now what is going to happen? So when David realized that, he was told that the woman became pregnant. So David sent this word to Joab. Joab again is one of the leaders who is leading the armies also. Now he conspired with David really to bring this man down. And so that is what happened. So this man is obeying his master, but they forgot about their greater master, God. We shouldn't lose sight of that. So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. And so you know, this man was asked to go to his own house after he came, but he refused. And even he was sent home with gifts, he refused to be bribed, you see, because David knew now that this woman is pregnant, so he wanted to cover it up. He wanted to cover it up. So this man wouldn't do that. He wouldn't go to his own house, but he remained behind. So David tried everything. He couldn't. Twice, this man refused. So what happened again? When David realized that his plans failed cause this man to go to his own house and to claim that the child is not his and it belonged to Uriah, so now he decided to kill him. So David is completely blind. He's just going downhill, the king of Israel. See, he can do anything. He can bring a wife of another man who is very close to him, serving him, and then have his own wife, and then also now having him killed. So this man now went back to the front line, and so we read that he was killed. And so when he was killed, look at what David said to Joab. Because quickly, when this man was killed, he just brought her to his own house. Verse 15 onward. So when he realized that this man was killed, he sent for her. So this wife now is his own. So sins really caused David not only to take the wife of this person, but also even to kill him. And he just broke all the commandments. So the Lord is displeased with what David did. He fell into adultery and did not repent straight away. With cold-blooded murder and went on covering up. This was evil in God's sight. That was what he did. He covered it up. He wanted this man to be killed. He sent him to the front line. And he knew that he wanted him dead. And also Joab also as a leader, his conscience also was dead. So now this man, David, is guilty. David became guilty of breaking the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th commandments. He broke them all. This man. What's the 6th commandment says? Thou shalt not kill. 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 8. Thou shalt not steal. Stolen somebody's wife. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet or desire somebody once. Wife. And all these things David was doing. And this David was the man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14. So David did all these things and breaking all the laws. So repentance is the only way to help here. Ephesians 6 verse 9 says this. Says God will show no favoritism. God will show no favoritism. And even David is the king, but there is the true king. That is what Ephesians 6 says, verse 9. And the masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. David didn't think about the God of heavens. And I think for all of us, the challenge is that when we go about our own business, endowed with power, as fathers, as husbands, as pastors, as elders, deacons even this morning. So we need to know that it's God who has called us into these positions. And it will be so dangerous for us to abuse this power. Because God in heaven will show no favoritism. He will move swiftly. And the consequences will be so bad. And we know with David, they were not good. The child died straight away after that. And David lost his influence down the hill. His son Absalom is going to rebel against him. The very people who were close to him. And the reason is because they saw in him those cracks. So he was no longer the king of Israel. That they knew. The man who was inquiring of the Lord all the time. The man who was protected by God himself. Now God is going to remove his covering from him. So that is why for us, for whom Christ died, we have nowhere else to go to despise the grace of God and to abuse the power that is not ours in the first place, is God's. So our leadership of any kind, we are not called to look down on people no matter what. Whether we are highly educated than them or we think we are more spiritual than them, we have a God who cares for them. If they have little faith, that is enough. They are his own and he will move to confront us. And so that is incredible. And we see the fallenness of human. So we see human is just so weak. So we are weak. We need to admit that. And we need God's grace as leaders. Even in our leadership in our homes, also we need God's grace. We can abuse the power we have, even over our children. That is why sometimes, maybe the chapter 6 was read. They sing, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandments with a promise that it may go well with you. And that you may enjoy long life on earth. But now talking to fathers who have the power. You see, fathers, do not. So it's not just you may. No, do not. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Because they are his own. So you see now the order. God puts people in position for a higher purpose. That God's mercy may flow to the people we lead as leaders. That is God's plan. He raised up people so that through this leadership, he might pour out blessings upon these people. Because there is a relationship between the leader and his leader, isn't it? When you have been raised as a leader, God looks to you in favor. Because God is an honor to be called into positions of leadership. That is why you are called to pray. David was praying for his own people. He was asking God, and God was coming to the rescue of his own people. Moses, the same things. Any true leader that is fearing God, God will bless people under him, those who are under him. So that is the order of God. So it's a position that we should not take lightly. Is a grace, an opportunity for us to exercise God's mercy over the people he has called us to lead. Even if you are a music leader. When you lead in the spirit, God is blessing people through your leadership in the music. If you are a Sunday school, God is blessing the children under you as a Sunday school teacher. So whatever order you find yourself under, God is doing something great for the people. That is why you need to be mindful when you are given a task or leadership of any kind. It's not in vain. It's God. And it may look simple and it's small, but it's incredible. The consequences are eternal. That is why some people, they think like to become a pastor, like myself now, is just like a journey of yesterday. It's not a journey of yesterday. Some people may not know that I started as a choir. I was a choir, not just in the church, in a Sunday school. That was what I was doing. And my task on Sunday, we will be going to the big church. I will be carrying the cross. It's still in my memory to this day. At some point, I will just lift up the cross in front of 600, 700, 800 worshippers. Big people, as a young boy. So you just do that. Even if you drift and then you come back again, you are reminded of what you are called to do. And then a choir, and then I lead services, singing, and also like order of service, like the elder would lead, and I would just lead. So now if you don't have an order of service, you can ask me, I come and I just order it to you because I know how to do it. I was trained to do that just through years. So don't despise the small things as a leader. And so David here, he was given even the leadership, like he was like a shepherd boy leading his sheep into green pastures, you know. And he was fighting animals, protecting these ones. He was raised up not just to be from cattle to be the leader of Israel. And here we see him abusing the power that God has given him. Because of complacency, his lust, covering up of his sin. And now to be told that there is no partiality with God. God is going to move and to confront him. These actions that David did displeased God, we are told. And when God is displeased, it's a serious business. God can move the punished, as we see. But for us today, the cross is the answer. If we have ever abused a power, we can repent. If we have looked at a woman lustfully, we can repent. Even if we have committed adultery, we can repent. God can heal, never to return to that. And then God can restore you, and you may continue. It's only Christ and his sacrifice that remedies for all our sins. But we should not be like David. And here we see David, when you contrast him with this man, Uriah. David here represents the humans in their fallenness. David, here he does not represent Christ. He represents us all because of what he did. And yet in this text we see who is his shining, Uriah. And now he is the true reflection of Jesus Christ himself. Because he couldn't be bribed, Joab was bribed. He was not overtaken by lust to go into heaven, and his wife was described as very beautiful. And David couldn't resist this beautiful woman, but Uriah resisted his wife. After being away for a long time, this man, he had his calling seriously as a man enlisted in the army of the Lord, knowing that he is fighting for a good cause, and he was under the leadership of God. Uriah got it right here. And we are called to follow in his footsteps, not David at these times, but only to accept that we are weak like David, but we have a Savior whose spirit is with us to help us all the way. If we have planned, if we have looked lustfully, we will not go further to bring that wife. And after that, to go down to kill the husband. And to go also to cover it up. And as if nothing wrong happened. And so Joab and David failed, but Uriah didn't fail. Well, I think you have seen the fact that it is easy for people who have power to abuse the power. But we ourselves, we are warned and we are called not to entertain anything. I just want to give you one example to finish with. People who have power, they can easily abuse this. So there was a retired leader of a large organization of almost 1 million members. He speak about his challenges of leading this organization. This is what he said. One of the biggest problems, he said, was newly promoted senior executives. I may be exaggerating a little, he continued. But it seemed almost that as soon as we promoted a man to be a senior executive, he suddenly decided that he was God's gift to women. So that is what happens. And it is easy for leaders to overlook even the grace and that was extended to them to have people serving them like King David. This man, this woman, her family, whole family, were at his service. But he overlooked this then to fulfill his own desire. So it's so serious. So power is something that is destructive. But it needs people who will always live under the mercy of God so that they can exercise. And sometimes you find your greatest need, even as you lead your own children, it is easy. It is easy to abuse the power given to you. And it's a good reminder for all of us tonight that we are to look to the Lord and to see how easy it is for us to cross lines. But let us not be unaware of this story. And when we approach it, let us see that David really didn't act wisely. So let me pray.